Hello, I'm Brendan Riley. Welcome to Pick Up and Deliver, a new podcast from Rattlebox Games, in which I pick up my audio recorder when I get off the train, and I deliver you a good podcast while I walk home. I know it's a terrible title, but it's going to be great. So I thought for my first one, I would try to engage with an idea that the idea of this podcast is to deliver people interesting conversations about game ideas. So let's say that you're not experienced as a gamer and maybe you're trying to figure out how things work. One of the things I'm going to do on this irregularly scheduled podcast is to explain game terms or game ideas that you may not have encountered. Hopefully I'll do this in a way that'll be enjoyable for people who have encountered lots of games. But when I'm doing these segments, we'll call it the start space, it's meant for people who are just getting into the hobby. So I thought today we would talk about one of the great terms that you encounter when you first start hobby board gaming, Euro and Ameritrash. Now, I would say, to start off, these terms are much less relevant now than they were, say, 10 years ago. So I'm going to talk about them 10 years ago. In 2007, the board game craze was well underway. We had Settlers of Catan for a decade already. People were going nuts for all sorts of things, including Uwe Rosenberg's perhaps most famous game, Agricola. In Agricola, you play a medieval farmer trying to grow stuff. If you don't have enough resources to feed your people, they take starvation tokens. Agricola is perhaps the quintessential Euro game. The same year, 2007, Fantasy Flight Games brought out Battlestar Galactica, a thematic adaptation of the Sci-Fi Channel original series starring Edward James Olmos. Now, Battlestar Galactica, while it's not quite the epitome of the American style or Ameritrash game, it's pretty close. So I'm going to use these two games as my lead-in to talking about when someone says they like Euro games or they like Ameritrash, or some people will say Amerithrash because it's cooler, or I just say American style games. What do they mean? So, starting with the 2007 definition, those phrases meant one of two things. When you said Euro, you're probably talking about a game. Okay. So the easiest way to define a Euro game and an Ameritrash game is to look at three distinct levers or registers and look at how they use them. The first of these is randomness. In a Euro game, there is generally going to be far less randomness than there would be in an American style or Ameritrash game. When there is randomness, it's usually going to be what game designers call input randomness. In other words, you might have dice, you might have cards, you might have all sorts of different functions by which randomness is introduced into the game. But that randomness is introduced in a way that is not player-specific and is introduced before players make a decision. So for instance, Agricola. In Agricola, there are cards that are revealed each round that allow you to take certain actions. Those cards are put onto the board in random order, or in sort of chunks of random order. So any given round, you may know that a particular card is going to emerge, but you don't know which card is going to emerge. You know, it's one of like four. That would be input randomness. The card is turned over, and then everyone gets to decide what decisions they're going to make. So the randomness affects gameplay, but it affects everyone equally, and it doesn't... It shapes the way you act. It doesn't affect the results of your actions. So that would be input randomness, and that's the kind of randomness you can expect to see in a Euro game. By the way, I think in the pick up and deliver segments, I'm always going to report to you what it's like while I'm walking. I'm walking home on a relatively pleasant snowy day, January 23rd. I live in the suburbs of Chicago. It snowed today, so a lot of the sidewalks have snow. I don't know if you can hear the snow crunching. Let's see. You probably can't hear that, but the snow is crunching under my feet. It's a nice day though. I do have hat and mittens on, but I don't have a scarf over my face. If I did, I wouldn't probably be recording. Okay, so a Euro game will have very little randomness, or it'll be input randomness. A Euro game will also have a theme, but generally the theme is going to feel relatively light. What I mean by that is that, like Agricola, you have a story, you are a farmer and you're managing your farm. But while you're doing so, it could just as easily be any number of other ideas, right? That you're using the resources to accumulate things and move things around, but generally the game isn't meant to make you feel like you're a farmer. It isn't meant to grab onto your emotions and get you excited. Although I would say a lot of people feel emotional when their children take starvation tokens. So maybe from that perspective, Agricola is a little more thematic than most Euros. But generally, if you hear someone say something like a theme is pasted on, there's a decent chance that's a Euro game. Here's an example of one, Hanabi. Hanabi is a game where you're building fireworks or something. It doesn't even matter. The main thing of Hanabi is that you hold the cards facing away from you and you're trying to make a set in order. The theme is really irrelevant entirely. Many Euro games, the theme is irrelevant. Finally, the third register that Euro games work on is player conflict. Generally in a Euro game, player conflict is going to be minimal. You may have opportunities to mess with other players. In Agricola, if I can see that you're about to build a new house, I might take the spot that lets you build new rooms in the houses, even if maybe I can only build one room because I want to keep you from building two this round. So that's, in Agricola, you do that. But generally, things are so tight, where the conflict happens is not that I took something you wanted just to block you, but rather you and I both wanted that and I got there first. So, but the conflict is generally passive. You know, I stop you by doing something myself. I don't stop you by tearing down what you've done or attacking you. It's generally passive. So, I would say most Euro games have relatively light randomness. And when they do have randomness, it's mostly input randomness. They have generally a pretty light theme and generally pretty light player conflict. By contrast, American style or American trash games are the exact opposite. There are a lot of games that are common to America that people could point to that would fit this. Something like Axis and Allies would be a good example of an Ameritrash game, or Fantasy Flight's Descent. But I'm gonna point to Battlestar Galactica because that came out in 2007 as well. And I think it's one of the more interesting ones because Battlestar Galactica does not have a bunch of dice rolling. Battlestar Galactica is, like I said, a thematic game based around the TV series of the same name from the Sci-Fi Channel. When we look at randomness, Battlestar Galactica actually feels a little bit more like a Euro. There aren't a whole bunch of random elements, except that there are. You have the Cylon ships that are chasing you. Those show up out of a random deck. You have the cards that you're able to play in order to help start or stop a mission. You get those when you draw them from a deck, which can be random. Some of these elements allow you to make decisions after you've seen them. Not all of them do. The next register is thematics, or theme. I would say Battlestar Galactica is overflowing with theme. In fact, a theme is a huge part of why you play the game, right? The game is built all around this idea of this show. The kinds of things you do in the game don't make much sense if you don't know the story of the game. If you don't understand the theme, it's really bizarre. It would be a weird set of mechanisms to do if it didn't have a theme. The theme shapes the decisions you make as you're playing. The same goes for the player interaction. In Battlestar Galactica, you are either a human or you're a Cylon, and your interaction is determined by the cards that you draw. Now this is, again, a significant change from a Euro game, where the way that I would most be in conflict with you is fighting over a worker placement space. In Battlestar Galactica, we're in combat because I'm secretly a traitor and I'm trying to disrupt your activities. And there are lots of opportunities for you and I to get in arguments and for you to throw me in the brig or for me to sabotage your mission. So Battlestar Galactica, while it might not use a lot of roll to resolve or output randomness, by which I mean in Axis and Allies, for instance, if you wanted to move some troops, or in Descent, if you want to attack a creature, you say, I'm going to attack the creature, then you roll some dice, and the dice determine how well you did. So in games like that, you could do everything right. You could get all of your ducks in a row, and you could still roll badly and get nothing. In a game like Battlestar Galactica is a little bit less heavy on that sort of thing, but the other elements very much fit what is often called Euro Ameritrash. So like I said, these distinctions are far less relevant now in the current state of the modern hobby board game, which is early 2018, as they were a decade ago when Agricola and Battlestar Galactica were all the rage. The reason for this is that the hobby board game community has seen a melding of the two approaches, that people who like both kinds of games recognize that what they enjoy in Last Knight on Earth is the exciting theme, or what they enjoy in Trajan is the complicated machinations of the system. What you start to have is games that use more of the mechanisms of, say, a Euro, but they get infused with the theme, the sort of level of theme and the controlling nature of theme, by which I mean they get infused with a theme that shapes the mechanisms they're choosing, so that more and more in these hybrid games, you experience the actions you're choosing really feel like they support the theme that the game is suggesting. And it, again, I think one of the hallmarks of an American style game is that if you take away the theme, do the choices that you get to make from a mechanical standpoint make any sense? And I would say with a lot of these hybrid games, they start to not make sense. It's confusing why you would have this particular block of choices if you don't have the theme to help explain them. For example, and I'll wrap up here, a recent game to rocket onto the Board Game Geek Top 100 is a game called Anachrony. And this is from Mind Clash Studios, who also released Tricarion, another really interesting hybrid game. Both Tricarion and Anachrony use Euro mechanisms. They're both worker placement games. You have these workers and you're putting them on spots and taking resources and building. In the abstract, it sounds very much like Agricola or any of the later descendants of the worker placement genre. But at the same time, both Anachrony and Tricarion have very complex interactions with their resources that are described for the reader or the player, that are described for the player as having to do with the choices you're making in the story. That if your character is doing X or Y, if your character is trying to get resources from the future, then you have this research and you have this extra scientist who can only do this one thing or another, and later you'll have to put that scientist back into the past. And these are the kinds of things that mechanically are difficult to conceive of working without a good theme to explain them. And for me, that's the sweet spot in the recent emergence of the blend of American and European style games. So I hope this has been helpful as you journey in, as you come into our hobby and you hear people say Ameritrash and Euro game, to explain what that means. And now you can go out and try out any of the games I've mentioned here. Well, I hope that you've liked this first episode of Pick Up and Deliver. Like I said, it's going to be irregularly scheduled. I'm going to try to do it fairly often, but it'll be sort of when the mood strikes me, and I have no idea whether I will maintain this explaining ideas for newcomers to the hobby or other things. I'd love to hear your thoughts on the show. My name is Brendan Riley, and this is a podcast created by Rattlebox Games. You can reach out to me at rattleboxgames.com. You could tweet at Rattlebox Games, or you can find our show notes on our website and contact us there. Thanks for listening. Here's hoping your walk goes well.
brought to you by Rattlebox Games.